Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, November 20th, 2014. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 12, the last paragraph, beginning the real significance. Today's readers are Sharon B. on the 12 steps, Judith R. on the 12 traditions, and reading the text, Karen M., Sally A., Elaine B., and Anita J. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sharon B. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Sharon B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Jersey. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Sharon B. I will now ask Judith R. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Kathy K. This is Judith R. in Vermont, a recovered compulsive overeater. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you, Judith. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. When you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 12, the last paragraph beginning the real significance. And I do want to mention that the reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, November 19th, is 7047. I will now ask Karen M. to begin reading.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself, and so it had been ever since, how blind I had been. So I wanted to go back and understand more about this cathedral experience, since it had some questions in my mind. And I read in the beginning of his story, Bill said, we landed in England. I'd visited the Winchester Cathedral, much moved. I wandered outside. Well, he doesn't say specifically what happened in the Winchester Cathedral. He hints at it later, and I imagine what would happen. And one thing he says he was lonely, and I would think as he would be afraid going to war. And so something in there encouraged him. That presence in that cathedral gave him an experience that was significant enough for him to remember it all these years. And anyhow, I have a 22-year-old, and I thought about him having times of fear and how that experience, you know, might have been reached by that too, and myself also. All I know is that the worldly clamors choked it, and the word clamor is to utter noisily. Something in my life that noisily mutes all the good things that are coming from my spiritual walk. So I just know that that's why I kept eating, and now I deal with those clamors inside of me. And then it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. There's such a piece of working on the internal clamoring lets me be free to not arrange life on the outside. With that, what I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen M. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Marcella.
Okay, Marcella, go ahead.
My name is Marcella. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So one experience at the cathedral, and then many years later, another experience that reminded him of a previous experience. So this reminds me of that paragraph that we read later, that the notion of God is in every single man, child, and woman. So it's something that is there already. And the process of the 12 steps of recovery kind of like activates that microchip that has always been there and allows us to stop overeating and achieve recovery. So I've seen that happened to me exactly, like when I went through the process of the 12 steps and I live my life in the steps, like something reminds me of something noble and pure and truth and powerful that I've experienced before, but I just didn't know what to do with it, right? But now, in living in Vision for You and in the 12 steps in the big book, in the 12 steps of the big book, then there's like a flow is established, a flow. And the recovery is always new, and the experience of recovery is new. And there's always the possibility of connection and reconnection. With the God of my understanding, the God that was instilled in me when I was a child, but with each and every one of you. And when we get together with the words of the big book, then we can do this thing. We can stop overeating, and we can be happy, joyous, and free, and be of maximum usefulness to God and ourselves. And that's my experience. So if you're new or coming back or you're struggling, just get another addict and open the big book and read to one another. It'll happen to you too. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marcella. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Bella. Can I share?
Okay, I heard Bella. And who else?
Phoebe.
I'm sorry. Can we try again?
Kim.
Phoebe.
Okay, Kim. And is
Leia.
That Phoebe? Is that right, Phoebe?
Yes, that's right.
Great. And Leia. Okay, so we'll go Bella, Kim, Phoebe, and Leia. Please go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bella Jean. I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. Yes, yes, I feel so much this sentence, and I live this sentence. Yes, before the program, I had a God in my life, but it wasn't in a humble way, not at all. It was, I didn't even understand it. I wasn't aware, but it was a kind of a competition between me and God. I knew that I can manage my life. I knew that, yes, God is busy with very big issues and very, you know, God is in charge of the whole entire world, but my life, my private life, I can manage them. I can do them. I can deal with this. And I really didn't think that I need God in my private life. And well, yes, I know now that this was my wrong belief, and I live according to a wrong belief. Now, yes, if I am in a humble way willing that God should come into my life, and yes, I am humbly willing to let God into my life 24/7, because yes, I give in my ego. I give in my power. Yes, and I can accept and admit that I am powerless. I am powerless over my life. I am powerless over the people. I am powerless, and I am willing to let in, to open the door for God 24/7. And when I open the door, God is there. And I have so many examples that, yes, and it's exactly what we read before, what I can do it for myself, God is there and he does it. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. And Kim, please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God, but soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly within myself. You know, to me, this is describing the difference between my personal experience and the idea of recovering versus recovered. You know, in recovering, yeah, once in a while I would feel those promises, but they were fleeting. You know, it was a temporary respite for me. There were moments and there were days where I didn't want the food, but I didn't have any permanence to it. I was recovering because it was all about Kim exerting her will to not eat. You know, it reminded me of when I was using this program purely as a fellowship. And I could get high off a meeting, and I could carry that feeling for maybe a day or two, which is why I had to go to so many meetings. You know, I could hear an inspiring speaker, and I could get a high off of that, and I'd have a temporary respite until something else happened. You know, I could make a phone call, and I could get relief for that night and maybe not pick up that night. But it was fleeting. So as much as there were moments when I needed and wanted God, there were moments when I know I needed this program, it was blotted out by those worldly clamors. And what does those worldly clamors look like? And I heard a speaker say this, and I just had to laugh. If you want to know what worldly clamors sound like, think if a microchip could be inserted into your brain, and on a megaphone, your thoughts would be put out to the world all day long. That's what calamity sounds like. That's what worldly clamor sounds like. That's what I'm up against. You know, and what do these steps do? These steps get me a connection with a higher power that can quiet my mind. I am recovered. I do not have fleeting promises. I have the ability to have permanent recovery because I work these steps and have a connection with a higher power. And the other thing I think of, and I'll end with this, is how it sort of felt was, if those who say for the after meeting, we stop and we say the serenity prayer, and there's 300 voices saying it, not in unison, but all over the place. And I know there's good stuff in there, but I can't hear it because there's so much going on. It's so foggy with all the voices going. That's what my life was like. I knew there was some good stuff in this 12-step program, but because I didn't put the food down and work the steps in order, it was all garbled. So the worldly clamors would take me down, even though I had moments, brief moments, where I needed and wanted God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Phoebe, please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Phoebe, and I'm calling from Vermont. I am in recovery. I am not recovered. This is all very new for me. I'm grateful to say that I'm not in the food, and so what that allows me to do is it allows me to have that humble willingness to have a higher power with me. And day by day, every day, with my guide and my higher power, my heart is opening, and those worldly clamors are becoming less and less significant to drive me to the food because my heart is opening. I've been extremely resistant to opening my heart to a higher power. And with listening to all of the recovered people on this line and my guide, I am able to appreciate a sunrise, appreciate the still morning, appreciate all of the things in which I see a higher power. And I've seen all of those things before, and I've appreciated them before, but there is a much deeper appreciation right now. And I see a door opening. I see a light at the end of the tunnel, and all of you give me hope. So with that, I am forever grateful, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Phoebe. And Leah, please go ahead.
Kathy K., thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. I'm Leah, recovered compulsive overeater. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And blotted means, you know, covered or hidden. And certainly, you know, that speaks to Bill, you know, who had such a quest and a pursuit, you know, for fame and for fortune. He was obviously, you know, a highly intelligent, highly driven individual who wanted to be, you know, at the head of vast enterprises. I mean, it's a delicious irony that he ended up being, you know, the head, quote unquote, of AA. But, you know, he wanted to manage something with utmost assurance. I mean, he played God. You know, how blind I had been, it says. And, you know, that reminds me of page 55, where it says, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. Again, God as you understand your own conception of God, right? It may be obscured. Obscure also means concealed, blocked, hidden, etc. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. And that is a message of hope for everybody on this line, that, you know, the program of recovery, the steps, particularly steps 4 through 9, strip us, just like it stripped Bill, of that spiritual sludge, the selfishness, the resentment, the fear, the misdirected instincts, which is blocking us from that remarkable, you know, spiritual being that's inside each and every one of us. I mean, that is the beauty of a meeting, is that you have this rich tapestry of all these different people who have gone through the process. Hopefully they too have been stripped of all this spiritual sludge, and that remarkable spirituality that's hidden, you know, within each and every one of us is revealed. And, you know, Bill is realizing here that his basic flaw had been faulty dependence on fame, faulty dependence on fortune, faulty dependence on accomplishment, on people, on circumstances to supply him with a feeling of security and well-being and happiness that he never had. And when he failed to get those things, as we've read in his story, or even when he got fame and fortune, he still fought everything and everybody because he could not find a sense of comfort. He could not find a sense of ease. And where do we get that comfort? And where was Bill's safe harbor? Within. The safe harbor was within. Because deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And in the end, God was his safe harbor. And that was true for me too. And that's the message of the hope that the book offers for each and every one of us. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Leah. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Well, I'd like to take a turn. This is Kathy Kay, a recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, I'm sitting here listening and realizing that I spent 50 years of my life listening only to worldly clamors. And no wonder that I was always in and out of fear and frustration and self-pity and depression, because nothing in the world, the worldly environment, can give me the peace and serenity that a relationship with my higher power has given to me. And it was only through reading this book and working the steps and listening to my fellows talk about how they found their conception of their higher power that I slowly became willing to look inside and listen and sit quietly and begin to consider the possibility of a power greater than myself that I access by going within, not by looking outside. It was a very, very, very slow process for me. And over time, the worldly clamors quieted down, and the words and thoughts and feelings of my higher power substituted. And that continues to grow. I still, at moments, can be affected by worldly clamors, and then I remember to go to God and to ask for help. And with that, I pass. Is there anyone else who'd like to share on this paragraph?
Debbie K.
Sue G.
Sarah W.
Okay. I heard Sue G. and Sarah W. Who was the first person?
Debbie K.
Susie K.
Debbie K.
Oh, Debbie K. Okay, Debbie. Go ahead, please.
Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Debbie.
Debbie, I can't hear you too well. Can you speak up?
Yep. Good morning, everybody. My name is Debbie K. I'm from New Jersey, and I am recovering. So what I would like to share is about this one sentence. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. For me, I have to ask myself, where in my being, in my presence, is my humble willingness? I have to go within, I have to be very quiet, and I have to search, is my interior humble and is it willing? And Bill states this as a fact when he says, and he came. And what I am finding, I have, today's the 20th, I have 24 abstinent days. And what I can attribute that to is that 24 days ago, I had humble willingness to let go of my food, to turn it over to a higher power. And I believe the reason that I have 24 days of abstinence is because God has come. On a daily basis, I need to ask, I need to be humbly willing daily. But for the past 24 days, I've been humbly willing. I am abstinent. Thank God. And that's my path.
Thank you, Debbie K. Sue G., please go ahead.
Good morning. It's Sue G., happily recovered and grateful. Mostly happy, I think. I'll think about this. Who am I today? It changes every day. That's the recovery state.
Sue, I'm having difficulty hearing you.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I think the microphone on my phone goes weird. Okay. Well, so what I was trying to say is that recovered really does mean continuing in recovery and in that sense recovering, because new layers come all the time. And for this, I am very grateful. And I thank my higher power, Hoovy, for all of that stuff. So I'm thinking of, this is really talking about beginnings of rustlings of the higher power here. I'm looking for the quote. Well, I think I'm on to the topic anyway. That for me, that as others have said, my kind of recovery has been a continual and gradual one. And if I look back, trying to strip away the nostalgia with some step 11 involved in my looking back, I really see that I've been very fortunate and I feel very grateful to be a pretty continual learner in my life. And that brings wonderful things, but it also brings a high degree of rationalization and emotional binging. I'm still capable of that. But I don't have to eat over it. I don't eat over it. I choose not to. And what happens is that higher power is there continually. So if I lapse for a few seconds or a few minutes, I'm back on track because I've learned something by engaging with this wisdom within, which is there. I stop my nonsense and I ask for help. And so that here's Mr. and Ms. Lymphoma in our lives right now. That's a nuisance. But you know what? The nuisance is way offset by the blessing. The communication that's happening between my spouse and myself is just amazing. And I'm starting to tell him enough about what's inside me so he can say something to me and he'll say, blah, 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 which is what it is, blah, blah, addressing my blah, blah, my noise inside, the clamor inside me. Now I've told him what the clamor is. So he says, this does not mean that I do not love you. And that's the sunlight of the spirit. It's love. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Suji. And Sarah W., please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy K. Good morning, Vision for You. Thank you for your service, Kathy. This is Sarah W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Shenandoah, Iowa. I was thinking about what the words mean when it says there had been a humble willingness to have him with me. Why does Bill put in humble? You know, it's not just willingness. It's a humble willingness. And I think that's really where, you know, for me, my higher power has been able to come in when I finally say, you know, I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to be better than. I don't have to be less than. I can just have the humility to know I don't know. I don't know everything. I can be open to whatever it is that my higher power is for me at that moment, which constantly changes and evolves, and I can be grateful. I've heard a lot about gratitude, a lot about thankfulness for what we have, and I think that's where whatever it is that you know, creative intelligence, you know, whatever it is that we think of, you know, I think of God as nature for me a lot of times, but that's where it comes in when I have that openness. You know, it talks so much, Bill talks so much about his mind snapshot. I think it really is about humility. And I guess the idea I wanted to talk about is that it's an inside job. It's an inside job. And, you know, I have to do the work. You know, I'm doing another little mini type of a four-step on a particular situation. You know, basically a 1 through 9, because it's come up for me numerous times, and I think it would be apropos for me to do it so that I can grow and learn, as was stated before me. You know, this is all part of the process. We don't get done. And I think that the beauty is that no longer are those worldly glamours, you know, to have aesthetic things around me that I can say, you know, I have these and these look good and I have status and I have money and I have things and I have, you know, status in my job or whatever. All those things diminish because now we're on a totally different plane where we want to be right-sized and be of service to others. So very beautiful part of the book that we're in, and it's beautiful to see Bill's change, his metamorphosis, as we have that same sort of a thing happen to us when we work the steps and surrender completely. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah W. Sally A., would you read the next paragraph for us?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, A Vision for You. This is Sally A., a recovered compulsive overeater in South Jersey. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. So we see here a paragraph that has two simple sentences. And the first sentence, at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time, tells us that Bill took action. We've been spending days, and we've been watching through the paragraphs, Bill coming to terms with what he has learned from Evie. And so I want to go back to Evie's the conversation with Evie for just a moment at the bottom of page 9, where it says at the very bottom, but he did no ranting. In a matter-of-fact way, he told how two men had appeared in court persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. They had told of a simple religious idea and the practical program of action. And I say this because what we see here is Bill's response to what he has learned, what he's learned from Dr. Silkworth, because he was in the hospital two other times. But that didn't cut the mustard. It wasn't enough for him to be put in the hospital by his family or to put himself in the hospital. Here he goes the third time. He's going to the hospital, and he's telling us, at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. So what's different? What's different this time? He's being separated. How many times have we held our breath, as it's been so beautifully put, and stopped eating, only to return once more? This time, he's armed. He's armed with an understanding that he is not going to have long-term recovery without a feature, the spiritual feature that are provided through the 12 steps. And knowing what he knows now, understanding the body and the mind connection, understanding as page 22 and 92 talk so beautifully about the body and the mind connection, he understands the body, he understands from Dr. Silkworth that he has to stop drinking the alcohol. But now he understands the mind connection, that he needs the 12 steps, that he has to work a program of action, as we see on the bottom of page 9. So at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. And I tell anybody and everyone that I sponsor, put your date, put day 1 on the margin here. That is you affirming, being willing to write in the margin of this paragraph, I'm done. That's what you're saying. I put down here June 14, 2012, I'm done. Are you willing to write that down? Are you willing to take the risk and put your start date, even if it's today, put it in the margin right here and say it, put it in writing so that you have to confront it every time you see this book and you come to this page, that this is the day that I decided I'm done. He said treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens in the second sentence here. And you know, for a person with alcoholism, there are so many sequela or side effects, or however you want to put it, that go with the bodily reaction. But is it really any different from us? Because we have our own physical reaction to putting the food down. I remember when I stopped having coffee, I had 3 days of an ice bag on my head, because I was stopping the coffee because I realized this is part of my addiction. And I'm not saying it's part of yours. I'm saying it was part of my addiction, and I knew I had to give it up too. And so treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. What will you do? What will you be willing to let go of in your quest to finally be free of the bondage of the food and whatever else has got you in bondage? Thanks for letting me share with that. I pass.
Thank you, Sally A. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
I would like to share. This is Vasa.
Melissa.
No, Vasa.
Okay, Vasa and Melissa.
Gail, I'd like to share.
Who is that?
Gail.
Gail.
Gail P. Uh-huh.
Okay, Gail. So we'll go Vasa, Melissa, and Gail P. Go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Kathy K., and I'm Vasa O., compulsive recovered overeater, and I'm calling from Foxborough. I'm calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. I forget where I am. We have here for the winter. But anyways, I had a difficult time. I could admit with step 1, I knew I was powerless over the food, but I had a really difficult time admitting step 2, that my life was unmanageable. Because I tried everything. Well, with the food, I tried to manage everything. But with the food, I was done. I knew I couldn't do it anymore. But with my life, I was still trying to hang in there. I really had a difficult time to admit I was my life was unmanageable. You know, I had the kids. I had the husband. I had you know, looking still for the material things. We had the dog, we had the white picket fence, but the only thing that was lacking, I could not stop eating anymore. It was just, you know, I was done. I said, I am going to live or die. And I'd like to go back to this sentence. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me and he with me. I was at the end of me. October 25th, 1986. I remember when my sponsor carried me, 12-stepping me. And she said, mark your calendar. This is your date. And that was the beginning. I can't, he can, I will let him. I humbled myself. I love the next paragraph. You know, again, we'll probably read it today. We don't have the time. But I was ready and willing to surrender to God and put the food in his hands and to ask God, forgive me for all the sins I committed my whole life. And I had a spiritual experience. That moment, I felt I was raised. I was born again. God came in me. I came in him. And that was the day I became my abstinence. I'm not saying the next day I didn't want to eat. Are you kidding? I was going through the withdrawals. I wanted to eat. But once I put the food in God's hands, for me, it was, all right, get up, eat your meal, breakfast, lunch, and supper. And nothing in between. I wanted to cry like a little baby. I wanted that food. I was a grazer. For me to go from one meal to the next, it was just so impossible. But with God's help, I did it. And I've been abstinent since that night. It's by the grace of God. It's not because of my own doing. And taking an action, that's what I did. I started going to meetings. I started, you know, again, started the big book, followed the directions. The recipe is right here. So I am just so grateful to be back to the vision for you. And I'm passing.
Thank you, Vasa. And Melissa, can you give us your first and initial of your last name?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you ask my last name?
Yes, it's Vasa O.
No, Melissa, I'm talking about.
Sorry about that.
Hi, Melissa C.
Okay, great. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. And, you know, what struck me as, you know, separated from alcohol for the last time. And it kind of brings up to mind how many times I swore off the food only to return, and what made this the last time, what changed it for me. I finally not only admitted that I was powerless to the food, but that I was never going to regain power on my own again. And that was the great spiritual awakening that began in me, that not only was I defeated on that day in February, but that I realized that I was forever defeated. And, you know, I clung to the idea and the word that I was a man who had lost my legs and I was never going to grow new ones. And that was an awakening that, you know, I knew that I was in deep trouble with the food. There was no denying that. But I kept hoping that somehow there was going to be a cure and that I could pick up again, because the thought of living without my substance felt somehow unbearable. I always could do it for a period of time. And what really transformed it was I did feel a spiritual awakening. I finally felt I thought about like treading water and how many times I just was treading water. And sometimes that the water would just pull me under. I couldn't do it. And when I, you know, I guess climbed on the boat and said I can't swim, and I just let God, you know, carry me. And you know, and that means for me that following some direction, good orderly direction. I've heard someone say that here before, and I've heard that years ago in a way that that was God. That I needed to follow a plan, a program of recovery, following the steps that this was greater than me, bigger than me, and yet lived inside of me as well. And, you know, and I was separated from the food for the last time. Thank you, God. You know, it's a beautiful day. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Gail P., please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Gail T. in Lockhart, Texas, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and just a compulsive eater. I'd like to share that I work a very strong spiritual program, and I know I'm powerless. I know that my life is unmanageable, but this power just didn't come in and take it away from me until, well, I don't even know if it's taken away right now. I just want to speak from where I'm coming from now, that there were times in the Vision for You meetings that the recovered compulsive overeaters would share their experience of how they came to know their higher power. And so for me, what happened is I don't have a higher power that's coming in and taking this compulsion away from me. And I have had many beginning start days. And then all of a sudden, someone said that it can just take time to know this higher power. You don't have to know this higher power today. And so what happened, and so what came about for me is that the face of my higher power that's going to help me with my compulsive overeating is not known to me right now. But here is the most magnificent thing, that I can have faith that this higher power that will help me with my compulsive overeating will become known to me. And with that, I could relax. I could turn it over because I am powerless. I don't know what that face is, but I can turn it over, I can relax, I can have faith that the program will unfold it for me. And that is exactly what's happening. It is unfolding for me. And that as long as I follow the steps and the directions, because I have a very oppositional, someone in the program said, Gail, you are really oppositional, and she tagged me, you know, it's like that. And so I started following directions and things are just moving along. And I wanted to share that with others because maybe the great white streak hasn't come to you. Just have trust and faith and things will start happening. I pass.
Thank you, Gail P. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Okay, Elaine, would you read the next paragraph, please? Elaine,
sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for your service, Kathy. There, I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood Him, to do with me as He would. I placed myself unreservedly under His care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without Him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friends take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since. So this talks about, to me, the progression. You know, we came to believe, and then we become willing to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. It talks about, you know, being able to utterly abandon ourselves. I place myself unreservedly under His care and direction. And, you know, that's the beginning. That's beginning to look at a power greater than ourselves to handle the problems that are greater than ourselves, that have actually got us into the into the mess that we're in today when we try to manage them on our own. And for me, too, I had to separate some of the things that were stumbling blocks for me. I had had an understanding of a power greater than myself, but I had to remove some of the stumbling blocks before I was able to really place myself unreservedly in the care of God. And in terms of looking for his care and direction, that's something that I have to do repeatedly every day, because it's so easy for me to get right back into trying to manage the show. But one of the things the program tells us, one of the promises, is that we've ceased fighting anything or anyone. If I find myself fighting, I know I am wrestling. I'm trying to manage. I'm trying to make things happen. And once again, I need to turn back and put myself unreservedly in God's care to face my sins, the way I've stepped on my fellow's toes, the way I've interacted unkindly, and have my new found friend take away this way of managing my life that brought me into a body that was over 100 pounds overweight, that relationships that were underdeveloped because I was looking at the plate between us instead of the person on the other side of the table, and, you know, a career that, though it looks successful on the outside, you know, I was stepping on people's toes in order to climb the quote-unquote corporate ladder that got me nowhere but restless, irritable, and discontent. It didn't bring the satisfaction that I thought. The food didn't bring it. Nothing I did brought it until I came to a place where I could utterly abandon myself to God's care. And this is something, again, that I need to do repeatedly throughout the day. And because really, I'm nothing. My ego has to be smashed, had to be smashed for me to be able to really surrender. And once I've done that, I like the image of, you know, everything I can do in my own strength and power is like a thimble. But if I access God's strength and power, if I seek his will for me, my life becomes an ocean of possibility. And that's out there for anybody in these rooms who's willing to be able to take a look at these steps, to begin this journey, and to walk them one day at a time. It's a privilege to trudge this road with you all, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine. Who would like to share on
Alice. This?
Okay, Janice. Alice.
Janice.
And anyone else?
Janice.
Paula.
Janice.
Carolyn from New York.
Okay, Alice, Janice M., and who else?
Carolyn, New York.
Nicole.
Carolyn, and is that Nicole?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I hope we'll have time for all of you. We may not. Actually, we won't. Let's start with Alice.
Hi, good morning. This is Alice, a newly recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and anorexic, and I am literally a very fresh cut of recovered meat here as I speak. That's the first time I've said it. Anyway, I wanted to, this paragraph to me took on just really beautiful meaning this morning as I translated it to how it applies to me. That there I humbly offered myself to God. For me, there I humbly offered myself to the principles behind the 12 steps as I then understood them, as I understand them today. And I place myself unreservedly under his care and direction. It is so easily understood by me, for me, as I place myself unreservedly under the direction of those that have gone before me. And I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing. I like to see that as I admitted for the first time, and I am admitting for the first time that that I need the strength of others, and I need the help of others to find my inner strength also, and that without that I'm lost. And where it says I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing, I look at that as I honestly was willing to take a look at myself and become willing to you know, to lean into these, to have my newfound friend, which I do, newfound friends. I have lots of newfound friends. They are the principles behind these 12 steps. have them take away my, you know, my defects, root and branch. And, you know, I'd say I have not had a drink since. I have not binged and puked for almost 6 months now. And I tell you, it's just to take these paragraphs and really sit with them and to change them into something we as individuals can use. It's just a beautiful thing. I just feel like this place I'm at, the state of mind of recovered, is just very, very sacred, very sacred. And I just thank all of you for being on this journey with me. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. I'm going to have to ask Janice M., Carolyn, and Nicole to perhaps share on the second hour. I apologize, I was losing track of the time there. It's now 7:55 and time to close the meeting. And I want to thank everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Anita J., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I will. This is Anita J. from Massachusetts, recovered and grateful to have heard today's meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.